get started for tonight. And we'll pray first, and then we'll jump into the lesson tonight. Father God, we just glorify you and we bless you on tonight as we present ourselves to you to get an understanding of your word. We just ask you to lead and guide us in all truth. And we just bless you again in the name of Yahushua. We just pray. Amen. Alrighty. What I want to deal with on tonight is a subject matter that, you know, I've heard different people discuss it or either ask questions about it. I want to talk about love on tonight. And again, people have asked questions about it and you know, have tried to define it and different things like that. But what I'm going to do is to look at some different definitions of it, and then I'm just trying to make it big enough where everybody can be able to see it pretty decent here. And then we'll deal with it. Everybody can see that pretty good, I guess. And then we'll move into some things discussing it. Okay. Now, again, well, did I bring you up? Again, there are a lot of things that have been brought to mind from a perspective of love, and people define it for, you know, whatever reason. Everybody have their own perspective on it, and I'm just trying to make sure I got everything set up. So y'all just gotta bear with me jumping around on this computer. And so, you know, you get people who may have different definitions of it and things like that. But what I want to do is to deal with it from a biblical perspective. And I'm going to give you some definitions based upon associations of the word, the word love and the way that it associates with us as far as life is concerned. And there are different facets of it. There may be even variations of it, even more so than what I'm going to discuss on tonight. But again, I just want to do it. I'm not going to really deal with necessarily Hebrew meanings or the naming of those words. I'm just going to define the words based upon you know, Greek translations and go all the way back to Hebrew and stuff like that. So I'll define it from those perspectives. And when my goal is that when we leave here tonight, we'll really understand what it is, how to understand the different facets of it, and to be able to do so and understand the levels by which we do it. Because, you know, you get people that are saying, you know, people just describe all facets of love and stuff like that. And so I'm going to show you what the Bible says about it, okay? And then we'll look at variations of it again. So, again, let me pull back up these definitional meanings here of the word love. So I just put here types of love, and these are definitions of the word love according to the scripture to show up that there are facets of it. And and also afterwards, I can send people this list. You can be able to get it online, if go to our website and get the information online and stuff like that too. Okay. Now, as far as the type of love is concerned, there is one, and this is a love. There is one love. You know how, like, you start a letter, you put dear. Dear such and such, that's a facet or a type of love. That's a facet of love. So you can love someone from a dear point of view. When you sit down and write dear such and such, you know, when I write letters to business people, a lot of times, you know, I may say sir or madam, them or something like that, or dear representative, because it's from a perspective of professionalism or business, you know. So I'm not approaching them from a perspective of love. But if I sit down and write a letter to, you know, to a friend or someone like that, I start out with dear, you know, dear. So when you start out that way, what you're letting the individual know is that I love you from a perspective of a friend. We have a relationship that caused me to identify you as someone that I'm fond of. There's some activity going on between us. You know, it's an active word. We're friends, you know. There are people I love as friends. They're my friends. I'm fond of them. Okay? That's one perspective of it. Okay? And all of us, if we be honest, there's somebody that we can name, whether it's it's a coworker or childhood friend, or, you know, you think about these different things, you know, from those perspectives, that is someone that we love based upon this definitional meaning. That they are dear to us. You know, if something happens to them, you know, it affects us, it has an effect on us in a certain perspective because we're fond of that individual. That's the type of love, okay? There's also a type of love that's associated with passion. Now, this love is different from a friend. I don't have a passion for my friend, okay? I don't have a passion from that perspective. And a lot of times when you see, relationship whereby you find a boyfriend, spouse, or whatever, kill the person that's in the relationship, well, they call it a crime of passion or something like that. That's a perspective of love whereby wrath is brought in. Most people can't associate that Yah bring his wrath about because it's connected to love. So when he's doing it, it's not that he's doing it because he hates. It's from a perspective of passion or a love that he has for us that will cause him to bring wrath. And so you look at it from those different perspectives. There's a passion associated with it. There's fierceness associated with it. There's indignation associated with it. You know, there are some people that you love so much you can't stand them kind of deal. Well, that's a perspective of love. That's a passion. Okay, that's the passion that you have for that individual. And then there's another one now. This is the third one. It's a perspective for us to love, or in a social or moral sense. I love mankind. Okay? I love mankind in a social or moral sense. If you just ask me concerning anybody, okay, I can't fathom how a person can just hate someone just because they're just the individual. Okay? So to love someone from this moral sense or this social sense, you know, I love being in the company of specific people. Okay? there are things that I love from a moral perspective. That's a facet of love. Now, we know that's different from a perspective of friend. It may have associations to that, but I'm just breaking down the different facets of love or types of love from the perspective of the scripture. There's a scripture that you know, the scripture, when you look at where it deals with a love from a moral or social sense. Matter of fact, when you go back up to the first one, when our Savior, Yahushua, asked Peter, he said, Peter, love without me. Peter was saying, yes, I love you as a friend. He said, I love you as a friend, you know. And so we have to understand the different perspective of love, because a person will take love and they want to just clump it in and everything. No, there are different facets of it. Because as we continue to deal with this, we're going to deal with one that trumps all of them. Okay? All these are facets of love, but there's one that's going to trump all of them. And we'll get to that later on now. Again, there's a love in a social or moral sense. Just call me if you need to. Does it love in a moral, in a moral or social sense? Okay. And then there's this love that's based upon impulse. Okay? It's based upon impulse. It's a type of love that you can wish for. Okay? You can wish for and these different things like that. And so, why is this stuff here?
What's up?
In our smart meeting section. I don't know why. Okay, just move. Okay. Now, and so there is a love as far as the impulse is concerned. How many of you have ever gone into, especially you ladies, you go into the store and you fell in love with those pair of shoes? That's impulse. Now, that's not the way you feel about your friend. You didn't go on there loving them shoes. That impulse hit you. You know, I go in the store, you know, we men, we like tools and stuff like that. We go in there, you know, brother-in-law and elder and I and different other men and stuff, we'll go in there and we'll see a type of drill or something like that. Man, we just fall in love, man. Man, I can drill all kinds of stuff with that. That's impulse. That's the love. You can wish for it. To be inclined to. It's not anything you planned on it. You didn't plan on it. It was an impulse. It happened from an impulse. That's a facet of love. Can I just get basic with you? Those one night stands and different things like that, that's impulse. That's a facet of love. But people don't look at it from that way. But I'm pointing out to you from a perspective of scripture to show you what the scripture says about these things. To tie it all together to give us understanding these different perspectives as far as love is concerned. This kind of love is impersonal. For the future tense. You love them shoes today and you go throw them in the closet and never think about them and take them out of the box from that point on. You just moved on impulse. You had to have it. You got it. And since you have it, now it's in the closet. You really don't care anything else about it from that point on. You just had to have it from that impulse at the time. One night stand is the same thing. It's impulse. You had to have it. It's not something that's planned as far as the future is concerned. Somebody says, this preacher's talking about one night stand in the church. I just deal with real issues. I'm giving you an understanding of what facet of love is. Yeah, that was a love situation, but it was impulsive. It was something that's not planned as far as the future is concerned, something that may not ever happen again, but yet it was done because it was love from an impulse perspective. Wish for. To be inclined for, impersonal for the future tense. A lot of people identify this facet of love as something that initially they're looking at it that this could be something that's permanent. So some impulse. That's why there's no future associated with it. Means to be about, to delight in. At that specific time, there was something that caused me to delight in that tool. So I wanted that drill. I delighted in it. Then when I came to my senses, I was like, man, I got a drill. Matter of fact, I got the same drill somewhere. You know how you ladies are. You go buy the same pair of shoes out there for impulse, and you didn't realize that you had two, you know, the same pair of shoes at the house. That's what impulse will do. Impulse is an impersonal perspective that will cause us just to respond. That is a facet of love. Okay? Now, there's another one that deals with it from the perspective of being willing to be disposed. When you look at the word, I guess you love Papa. Okay. So from that perspective of love, there's another facet of it deals with being willing. It's from a perspective of minded. Okay? I'm willing. There are things that I'm willing to do because of love. There's some stuff that the only reason why I'm doing it is because of love. I'm just willing. man, I sure don't want to do that. I did some stuff yesterday just because it was really love. I did not want to do it. It just I was trying to figure out, I was looking around trying to figure out if I could pay somebody to come do it. I was willing to do whatever just so I could get away from the scene. That was a love based upon Willie. Now, that had nothing to do with the love that I had for the individual. It's just that that particular circumstance had me operating in a love that was willing to be disposed. I'm inclined to do this here. I intend to do this here. There are things that people will do from a perspective of love. They're willing. You know, I don't want to do it. I'm just willing to do it. I'll go through the motions. That's a facet of love. I don't know why. I don't know why I did it. I didn't even care nothing about it. Yeah, you did. It was a facet of love. It may not have been the love as far as the other ones are concerned, but it was a love associated with that to make you be willing in the first place. But then the scripture teaches what it is. To be willing, to be disposed to be inclined to, okay, yeah, I'll do it. That's a facet of love. Then we go to the other one now. I'm moving you kind of fast. Then there's the other one that deals with the intellect. Deals with the mind. Okay? Deals with the thoughts, the feelings. There are people who love based upon feelings. Feelings. You make me feel good. I just, you know, when you come in, my eyes just water. You know, I just feel so good. It's just something about you every time I see you. Well, that's from a perspective of the mind, the mental disposition. Something from a perspective of understanding. The more I understand Yah, the more I love it. That is this type of love. The more that I grow in him, the more that he gives me understanding, the more that he deals with my mind, I love him from that perspective, from a divine or a human point of view, in thought, feeling, or will, by implication, meaning, mind, to understand. You can love a person from a perspective of understanding. So when a person tell me that they don't understand, that they don't understand and they have the willingness to try to seek to understand something, all they are doing is saying love. I never get offended with somebody who said, well, I don't understand. I need you to give me understanding of it. I don't understand what you mean. Because that individual who desires to understand something is doing so from the perspective of love. When you love someone, you try to understand. I love Yah. I try my best to understand. Every time I get in the Word, Yah, show me what you want me to understand. I love you. I want to understand what you understand. So you get people that will talk about different facets of love, but at the same time, all of these can be working in one facet or another. Now, you know, in order to deal with these, and I'm going to just stop right here from these point of view, so I'm going to go back up. One is from a dear perspective. You know, you write a letter, dear such and such. You're telling that individual, I'm fond of you. You are a friend. And, you know, that's why you don't put dear in your letter unless you're fond of that individual. I don't put dear in business letters. Okay? At times, it depends on if I know the individual. If I know the individual, I may say dear representative. Then, you know, there is a relationship there in one fast enough. But to a stranger, I've come across just sir. It's professional. It's business. Sir or madam. That's a lot of time I approach it. Sir or madam, and then I'll write what I have to write. Very, very formal. Okay? But then there's a dear, there's a friend, you're actively... you're fond of the individual. That's a facet of love. That's where Philadelphia comes from. That's why I call it the city of brotherly love. And I don't want to get into the actual meaning of those names. It's Phileo, brotherly love. Philadelphia. That's why they call it the I believe the city of brotherly love, something like that. Philadelphia, that's what it means. Okay? So that's what it gets, you know, these things come from Yah. So there is a fact of Yah whereby we love one another as a friend. Some people, okay? And there's a passion. This passion is a love. It's fierceness associated with it. A lot of times it's wrath associated with it. You'll find, you know, someone, you know, be like, well, if I can't have you, can't nobody have you. That's love. That's passion. That's the passion of love. It's wrath associated with it. Okay? Then there's another third one. It's the love from a social or moral sense. You know, I love the cowboy. That's from a social sense. I ain't finna jump here and ruin my whole day because they lose the game. Because that's not the kind of love I have for them. I love them in a social sense. This is social. When they stop playing, it's no longer social with me. You know what I'm saying? So it's from that perspective. It's in a social sense, or you can look at another love, a facet of it, from a moral sense. Okay? From a moral sense. I love mankind from a moral sense. Okay? Then again, impulse. We dealt with one for impulse again, the wish. You know, we go in the store and we buy tools from impulse. Women, you go to the store, you buy clothing from impulse. That is a facet of love. We love those tools and you love those shoes. Okay? But it's impersonal. There's really no future associated with that. Why? We'll put the tool in the corner with the rest of the tools. Won't have music. And women, you'll put the shoes in the shoe box in the shelf in the corner somewhere. May wear them only one time. That's impulse. Okay. Then the other one is being willing. I'm just reminding you, reviewing. To be willing, meaning, you know, I'll do it. And the only reason why I'm doing it, I'm willing to do it because I love you. Ain't no other reason. I don't want to do it. I don't like it. Matter of fact, I hate it. I don't even want to. I'm just doing it because I love you. That's a love. That's willing. And so people have to be able to understand that, you know, be able to understand that fact of love. I can tell you I don't want to do it, but I still can do it because I love you. If I'm willing to do it, that's the fact that you should concentrate on to understand whether or not an individual loves you. Just because I shouldn't have to want to do it to show my love. I did not want to do it at all, but do it because I love. That's willing. That's a love. That's a facet of love. Okay? Then the other one again is the intellect. This last one we dealt with, the intellect, it deals with the feeling, the will by implication, meaning, mind, understanding. There's a feeling associated with love, whereby, you know, a person just makes you feel good. That's a facet of love. Now, as we look at these, all of these have facets to it, and Yah describes them, but there's only one that he identifies himself with, Now, he does these things, but there's one that he identifies as his nature. He doesn't identify any of these that we just discussed I have to say it that way, all of them is a form of nature, but I'm talking about the one where he specifically says, this is what I am. Okay? I can do all of these here that I just read, but then there's one that Yah said he wants us to be at all times. There's one he wants us to be at all times. Because this particular love trumps all the rest of them, and it's the one that most people try to put in place of these here. Most people think the love that we're about to talk about is when they feel for someone. This is not the one. This love that I'm talking about goes beyond your feelings. Because the one that I'm getting ready to talk about, my feelings can be all messed up and it stays there in place. I can lose my feelings for you. I can lose a facet of love for you. I can lose my love for you as a friend. Y'all hear me? I can lose my love for you as a friend. I can lose my love for you from a passion point of view. I can lose my love from you from a moral sense. I can lose the love as far as the impulse is concerned. I can lose that. I can go in there and be like, I ain't gonna buy nothing. I'm not gonna buy no shoes today, baby. Just thinking. You can lose that. Okay? You can lose the love to be with it. I ain't doing nothing. I don't care. I'm not doing. You can lose it. You can lose the love from a perspective of the feeling. You can lose your feelings for someone. So you have to understand which category of love you're operating in when you deal with an individual. Now here's the one that the Bible says is most important of all. Okay, we'll go to 1 Corinthians 13, and we're gonna deal with love. The type of love that Yah wants all of us to operate in, because when we operate in this one here, the rest of them will stay intact. See, if you don't have this one, you'll lose the other. You can lose the other. But when you have this love that we're about to talk about, it don't matter what you do to me, you're not going to lose my friendship. It doesn't matter what you do to me, it's not gonna cause me to lose my passion that I have for you. In other words, I'm just trying to describe all of the facets of love that we've dealt with to show you that when this one here is in place, the rest of them will line up and they will stay, because when this one remains, the rest of them will remain. It is a foundation by which the rest of love can be launched from properly and stay within its boundaries. Okay? Now, 1 Corinthians 13, we'll start at verse 4. It says charity. When you look at charity, it means love. Okay? It means love. Okay? Now, what it says, and we're going to look at these words because I want to show you that this love has little to do with any of the rest of the ones that we dealt with. I said little. They can reach out and touch it, but it has little to do with it because this type of love, I'm not doing it based upon how I feel. So when God describes the love that He wants us to operate in, first of all, as far as the children of the Most High Yah is concerned. And then to show that same love toward one another. Okay? This is the love we all need to see now. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 says, charity. Charity is love. It has the same Greek meaning. You even go back into your Hebrew and stuff like that. It runs within the same vein of meaning. So when you say charity, that means love. Anytime somebody making a charitable contribution, it should be a donation made based upon unconditional love. And so a lot of people use that word as a connection to what they do, and I mean it's nowhere close to it. Very few people give from the perspective of charity. Most people give because they wanted something, and that's the complete opposite of what charity is. Okay, now here's why. First thing you have to understand about love, this type of love, charity, love, is that you are now not the center of focus. In order for you to do this effectively, you have to understand that the Savior did not have focus on himself when it came to him dying for our sins. Yah sent him without the focal point being on him, but on us. Yah sacrificed him for us, for you and I. Yah so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So when Yah made that dedication, he didn't have his best interest in mind. He had our best interest in mind. So if you want to start love out in the right way, love always has the other best interest in mind. If you're trying to find love for you, then you're in the wrong perspective. Now, hear what I just said. If you're trying to find something that makes you feel, in the wrong perspective. Because love, from the perspective of this love that we're about to talk about, it is always wanting to be given out. It's not trying to get something. See, the love you talk about is that feeling stuff that we talked about earlier. You're trying to enter into a conditional perspective, but trying to use a kingdom perspective. You want a feeling thing, but you want God thing. I have said that. Look what the scripture says. Love, now charity, love now. It suffers long. When you look at the word suffers long, it's patience. See, in other words, when the love is there, it is something that you're giving out. Patience is one of them. It's an attribute to it. Or of it. Love is patient. It endures. So this type of love, so when a person tells me, well, I have this type of love for someone, I'm like, okay, did it endure? Then you're not on this level of love. Because this level of love always endures. It's suffering long. It endures. I don't care what happens, that love is still intact. It ain't about your feelings. When you fall out of something, that's another fact of love. That's your feeling love. This love has nothing to do with it. So I may not defend you, but this love is there. I'm going to endure. It's getting on my nerves. It's making me sick. I can't stand them right now, but this one here is going to endure. I can't stop this type of love. Oh, I can lose my feelings, but this one here, something else is going on with this. And we explain what that is later. We explain why it suffers long. We explain why this type of love endures. Most people looking for this type of love, but they don't want to. But they don't want to pay the price of sacrificing themselves to get it. Because their perspective of love is, what are you doing for me? You're not doing nothing for me. So you must not love me. And if you don't love me, then you sure not going to get my love feeling. Yeah, it's love, but it's at the lower level where you want to be. Because this type of love go out of its way to make sure that it endures. Love suffers long. It endures. It's patient. It's long suffering. It's forbearing. It is long spirited. Yeah, that rock's getting on my nerve, but I'm hanging in now. That's Yah's love. Cause all of us know that we ain't worth a quarter. I did say ain't. We ain't worth a quarter sometimes. Yet Yah he's enduring in his love. And it's also kind. It's benevolent. It's kind. It shows oneself useful. So So when I'm expressing this type of love, then it doesn't mean that I'm looking to use someone. I'm looking to make myself useful for someone. People always talk about love, but then they ain't no good for nothing. They're not useful. Be useful for someone. Love is kind, useful. It's kind. It envieth not. Oh, Lord, have mercy. How can you or we effectively love when we operate in jealousy? Hello? Y'all said this type of your love, it don't operate in jealousy. It don't envy. It's not jealous over stuff. Okay? It don't covet stuff. It envieth not. It vaunteth not itself. Now, when you look at the word vaunted, it means to boast. Yeah, you know what I did for you, Jimmy. Yeah, I did that for you. Love don't do that. Love just do. If I got to hear you say you love me, and that's the reason why you did something to me, and then a day or two later you want to say, well, see, I did this for you. Then love don't boast about what it did. Love just do it. I rubbed your back and you didn't rub mine. Love don't boast about what it did. Love just do. That's what it does. It just do it. Love looks for nothing. Love just want to give itself out. Not looking for nothing. It don't turn around and then brag about it and boast about it. But anytime you do something from a perspective of this love that God is talking about, y'all, anybody who know me will tell you that anytime you say thank you, it's okay. I'm not advocating that you don't say thank you. That's just being polite. I'm just talking from my perspective. Anytime you say thank you to me, you can keep it. You can keep it. I mean, you can do it. I have no problem with it. But anybody who know me will tell you anytime you tell me, well, you know, thank you, Pastor Boyle, I'll be like, hey, you ain't got to tell me that. I did this cause of love. I wasn't looking for no thank you. How many folks have ever, have ever done something for you and didn't stand there and wait on the thank you? Child, they didn't even say thank you. I would like, I'd be want to throw it back to them to take it. I'd rather keep my thank you and you keep your crap because it's not based in love. It don't boast itself. Okay? It boasted not itself. Is not puffed up, haughty, proud. Proud. Love is not proud. How many people have destroyed relationships based upon pride? Child, I'm gonna show that rascal. I'm gonna stick this out. Miserable. We're gonna stick it out. All because of pride. That's not the level of love by which God has called us up. That feeling kind of love can do that. Because you or we all up in our feelings then. Oh, shoot, man. I'm feeling proud and I'm gonna show my love that way. Not fucked up. It doeth not behave itself unseemly. Okay? Do not act unbecoming. I think we all got to work on that, don't we? So, I admit sometimes I just get crazy, man. I just get crazy. When I get crazy, you know, I chill out. Y'all have to help me. I'm just being transparent about me. You know, y'all have to help me because I walk deep in on people. I can be unbecoming sometimes. Now, all you who know that I can be, you should have been saying amen to you if you love me. Be like, yeah, he got me too. Think it's not her own. Love don't think her own. That's what I'm saying. I always have a problem with a person who's always speaking love from their perspective. This is what I want for love. Love doesn't speak it on. Love, if we all have love down packed the way that we should, then it should display to someone. It's always extending from you. You get it back from someone extending that same love back to you from that perspective of wanting to give to you. But if your approach is always, give me, love don't operate that way. Give me love. Make me feel good. Make me happy. Do me this. If that ain't love, that's craziness. But it's love from a feeling perspective, though. Impulse. Whichever one you can find.
Yeah.
Okay? Do not behave yourself unseemly. Think it's not her own. Is not easily provoked. Oh, man. I had to work on that, man. I can get stirred up in a minute. I can get agitated in a minute, man. Yeah, I like telling on myself. So if I tell on myself, you know I tell it on you. You know, and so it does. This is what God teaches us. Love does not, it's not easily provoked. Okay? It's not sharp-edged, you know, all the time. Oh, yeah, you know. It's not easily provoked, not easily stirred up, you know. Love is not that way. It's not easily provoked. Think it's no evil. Okay? Think it's no evil. Bad thing. Harm. Wickedness. Worthless. Love don't look at someone and say, you know, you're not going to ever amount to anything. When we do that, we're not operating in love. Okay. Rejoice is not in iniquity. That's the willful sin, unrighteousness, unjust, wrongfulness, injustice. You get some people who operate in just love to, you know, our nation of people, we're experiencing a lot of injustice in some ways. That's a lack of love. It's amazing to me how many people said that they love the Savior, but then don't love their own brother. We'll look at that a little bit later. Love doesn't operate or rejoice in iniquity. Okay, wrongdoing. And it shows the mind of people when they can see a person get killed and then make an excuse for why that person got killed. That if you, when I look at that, I said, man, you talking about, you got all these people talking about how, you know, one minute you see them post on Facebook, if you love Jesus, say amen, then the next minute you see them jump on that side and you see that unrighteousness operate. Where they try to make an excuse for something that, look, the man had his hands up. The man was laying on the ground with his hands up and they still shot him. Well, he should have. That's unrighteousness. That's a lack of love. Beareth all things. When you look at verse 7, it says, beareth all things. Beareth all things. It suffered. It endured. It is shut up. Sometimes it's just good to shut up and leave stuff alone. That's what the word bad means. Sometimes you to cover with silence. Sometimes it's not good to give a person a piece of your mind. Or at least give a person a piece of. Sometimes it's good to shut up. Love will help us to shut up sometimes. Now I gotta say what I gotta say. No, love will help us to shut up sometimes. It'll cover things in silence. There are times when I want to say a lot of stuff, but I don't say anything. I have old saying, just because I don't say nothing don't mean I don't know. That's why I say it. There are things that I know, but I just don't say anything because I just cover it in silence, because I do it based upon love. So it bears all things, you know. It suffers things. It covers with silence. It endures patiently. Again, it believeth all things. Okay. In other words, when you love, there's trust. That's what that believeth means. It means to trust. To put in trust. Okay. Means to put in trust. Now, since it's this kind of love, it points or it brings the implication more so to the Messiah. So I'll say it from this perspective. I'll follow you as you follow Christ. That's why I always tell you to do that. I'll be like, put your trust in me. As long as you can see Jesus in front of me, when you can't see him no more, do not trust me. So I say it that way. So that's why I said the perspective, it's just a cliche that I use, and I trust no one. I trust no one outside of them being led by Yah. That's what I mean. If Yah is leading, man, tell me where we got to go. I'm in. So you look at it from that perspective, that's what it's just. Okay. Believe it's all things, hope it, all things, that's confident to trust, also confide. Okay. Hope is to confide, to expect, to confide. Endure all things. Minds up at us again. It perseveres. It tarries. Some of these definitions kind of intertwine. It remains. Okay. It endures all things. In other words, it able. Love can get you through anything. That's how you know when it's this type of love. When no matter what happens, it can get you through it. And you still have that same love for that individual. That's what this love is. Okay. Endureth all things. Verse 8, charity, love never fails. Never. Not at any time. It never faileth. When you look at the word faileth, it means to lose or become inefficient. To fail, okay, to go away, to drop away. You can't fall out of this type of love. If a person can fall out of love, they have never experienced this type of love. Because when you experience this type of love, you can't fall out. Okay? Love never fails, but whether it be prophecy, they shall fail. Whether it be tongues, they shall see. Whether it be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And I want to skip down to verse 13, and then we'll finish up here. Verse 13 said, now abideth faith. Now we know what faith is. What is faith?
Trust.
Trust in who? In Yah. Okay. Now abideth faith. Trust in Yah. Hope is confidence. Okay? It's assurance, it's a confidence. And charity is just love. It says these three, but the greatest of these is love. You mean to tell me love is greater than faith? That's what the Bible is saying. When you look at the word greatest, the word greatest, as we deal with that, it says the elder. The one that's the larger, more. So it has the meaning and association the way we understand it. The greatest of these love. Love is greater than faith. Love is greater than hope. Love is the greatest one. Now, as we get ready to close, we'll go to John, 1 John chapter 4, and we'll understand why this love is not easily done. See, the reason why I know very few people have experienced this love that I just described in 1 Corinthians 13 is because it takes God himself to do it. So, yeah, all of us can show facts of love, but no one can show this one without God. So it doesn't matter who you have loved or fallen in love with in the past or had affection for in the past or however you want to put it. It doesn't matter. It takes God to do this one. So if you were doing that type of love without God, you had a lower level of love. Nobody does this without God. Now, let's prove it in scripture now. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Now you understand why I say this cliche all the time. The reason why most people have a difficult time loving is because they try to love. The reason why most people have a difficult time loving is because they try to do what Yah is without Yah. That's why I say that. What most people are looking for is this type of love of 1 Corinthians 13. But it can't be implemented without the source. Yeah, the Bible talks about feelings. Yeah, you can be fond of a person without Yah. Yeah, you can be impulsive without Yah. Yeah, you can have feelings for an individual without Yah. But you can't do this one without Yah. By laughing, people, when they try to say that they have without the knowledge of the Most High. They're like, no, you can't. It's impossible. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of Yah. This is the same love that's in 1 Corinthians 13. This type of love is of Yah. And everyone that loveth is born of Yah. You can't do this unless you're born of You got to be born of this. You have to be born of Yah to operate in this type of love. If the person is not born in Yah, then they are operating in the other facets of love. You just feeling for someone. You're not born of Yah to do this. Verse 7, 1 John 4, verse 7, Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of Yah, and everyone that loveth is born of Yah and knoweth Yah. Only the ones who are born again and know the Father can operate in it. No one else can. There lies the problem. There lies the reason why I say most people are trying to do what Yah is without having Yah. Impossible. Verse 8, he that loveth not this type of love. Don't throw the rest of them in there. He that loveth not, when you look at it here, verse 8, it's the agape. It's dealing from a moral or social sense. He that loveth not, deal with it now. He that loveth not knoweth not Yah, for Yah is love. Okay? Now, let's deal with this in more detail now. Now, you remember when I said that the rest of the facets of love launches from the foundation of this love? Y'all listening to me. You remember when I said that the other facets of love, the feelings, the impulse, all these different things that they launch from this facet. When you look at verse 8 says, he that loveth is a different meaning from the word love in verse 8. It's loveth and then there's love. When you look at the word love, it's talking about from a, to love in a social or moral sense. Remember when I dealt with that definition? So Yah is saying, in order for you to love mankind, you first of all got to have mine. Stop that. If you don't have my agape, you're going to fall in and out of it. When you have my agape, you're going to always love mankind. He that loveth not, knoweth not Yah. So when I fall out of love with you, Yah is saying, because you don't know me. Remember when I said earlier that, when a person is my friend, they don't lose my friendship based upon the things that they do. If you're my friend, you're my friend. I may not like the things that you do, but I still will consider you as a friend and be fond of you as an individual. Why? Because that stems from Yah. When it's an unconditional love, then there's nothing that you can do as a friend to change it. You're still my friend. Now, what you got to do is learn and pick who to choose your friend. Well, I don't call anybody a friend. A lot of people also classify as associates. There's association. I don't really call them no friend. There's no dearness associated with it. But all of my friends, they're going to remain my friends regardless of what happens. That doesn't change. Why? The scripture tells me, he that loveth from a moral and social sense, he that loveth not, knoweth not Yah, have not the knowledge of God. Don't perceive Yah. Don't understand Yah. Yah said, if you don't love, If you can't love from these perspectives by which you're to understand it from a moral sense, y'all see, you don't understand who I am. See, these people who go around here talking about type A man, if you love Jesus, y'all see, they don't know nothing about me. If their moral love is not intact. He that loveth not, knoweth not Yah. For Yah is love. Now, when it says he is love, it is talking about from that perspective of the agape. It is, in other words, when you take agape, it takes all of those facets of love and binds love into one. Why do they all want from that? When I operate in a agape and the charity or agape type of love, then the spirit of Yah come up through me and make me do some things. Impulse. Man, you know what? I'm going to buy you a lunch today. Impulse. Because I'm trying to display that love that I have for that individual. So that's why I say all of them launches from this love that Yah say he is. Passionate about it. Thing that you're passionate about, okay? So, again, he that loveth not, verse 8, knoweth not Yah, for Yah is love. Yah is love. You take all of those definitions now, and you start, I like how it says there, it says love feast. You take them all now, you bind them all together, Yah, but now you got it. But you got to understand, when you operate in any of them, they never change. Because 1 Corinthians 13 points out and makes it clear that love never changes for a friend. Love never changes for the feeling of anyone. Love always remains the same. He said, if it doesn't, it's not me. Can't lose it when it's me. Well, I look at some of them old chicken heads I dated in the past, I was like, that was all me. That wasn't y'all. Because I fell out of love with them. What? Now, verse 9. Do I want to read verse 9? I'll just read verse 9 and then I'll go ahead and close, I guess. I may go to verse 11. It says, in this was manifest the love of Yah toward us, because that he sent his only begotten Son in the world that we might live through him. Yah had our, well, I love my Father Yah. Why? Because he first loved me. He gave the best that he had. He paid the ultimate price for all of us. That's awesome. Verse 13, verse 10. Herein is love. Not that we love Yah. Herein is how true love is. Not that you're giving it to somebody because they're giving it to you. Herein is love. You want to know what it is in a nutshell? Here it is. Herein is love. Not that we love Yah, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if Yah so loved us, we are also to love one another. He said, Yah said, if I love you like that, then you love people like that. So if you're looking for love and hadn't found it, you just found out what the problem is. The problem is you looking for something to benefit you instead of looking to give out within you. But you got to get it first before you can give it out. Yah is the source. Here in verse 10 is love. Not that we love Yah. Yah is like, Yah wasn't even thinking about me. In reality, you hated me because you disobeyed me. But I did not show my love for you because of what you were doing for me. Yah said, I've been over backwards to give you everything that you wanted and what you needed, all because I love you. Had nothing to do with you. Had nothing to do with what you were giving me. If you want to understand what true love is, then that's how your life should be. If you want to operate in the love of Yah, you got to be willing to give yourself to someone instead of looking for someone to give themselves to you. Verse 11, and I'm closing. Beloved, if Yah so loved us, we are also to love one another. This is the type of love that Yah wants each one of us to do. When we operate in this love, which is an unconditional love in a nutshell. See, there's no boundaries on it. It's not based upon my feelings. It's not based upon my impulse. It's none of that. This type of love is saying, I do it because my Father did it for me. When that love is approached from that perspective, then it will extend out in every category. Whether it's friends, whether it's impulse, whether it's relationship, you name it. If that mindset is approached, then all other things will fall in that same perspective as far as love. All right? Okay. I'm finished. Any questions or comments? We good? Okay. Father Yah, we bless your name on today, and we thank you for just another facet of understanding. We ask you just to continue to lead and guide us in truth and bring us into the knowledge of your will for our lives. And we bless you. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.